Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 49, studying Luke's Gospel. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. Our free materials are always available by clicking the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. You can access all of these IGH 260 programs by going to internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. This program update, starting in 2020, this IGH 260 series will transition to an exclusive online platform and then be known as the 260 Project. To keep up with this ongoing study in the new year, visit the 260 Project website at the260project.org. The word the, the number 260260, the word project.org. At the 260project.org page, you will find links for our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest pages, and a link to sign up for our weekly newsletter. Though all of these web, social media, and newsletter links will keep you up to date with upcoming broadcasts, the weekly newsletter will always be the most effective way. Sign up at the260project.org today. We hope that you can join us in 2020 as we continue this study of every chapter in the New Testament. Let's get back to our study of Luke's Gospel. But first this. Remember, Scripture presents God as saying, here's where you are, here's where you need to be. Move. That divine directive, that divine expectation, can be found throughout the New Testament. It's summed up in these words, faith, repentance, baptism. Each entails a starting place that never ends. Biblical saving faith, to be what God wants it to be, will always move in the direction that God wants it to go. That kind of faith, it never stops. Repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation, once repentance starts, repentance never stops. And finally, baptism, our death to self and our death to sin, and then alive to and alive for Christ's initial obedience, baptism has never been a one-time, one-off, singular act of faithful obedience. Baptism has always inherently called for our complete and our ongoing, that is, our daily death to self and our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. We cannot be what God wants us to be and what God expects us to be without these modeling Jesus elements. Are you, are we, am I modeling Jesus today? Here's where we were at the end of our most recent program. We were in the midst of introducing the third generation of the good news message, from the apostles to Timothy to Luke and other second generation believers in Jesus the Messiah. Before we start that third generation, that third transfer of the good news message, we asked and then we started to answer this question. What does the delivered principle have to do with my day-to-day practical Christian living? Here's what we have noted so far. The delivered principle, orally speaking, takes us, moves us from the eternal redemptive plan in the mind of God to and through Jesus, the Son of God, to and through the apostles, to and through men like Timothy and Luke, to and through men like Theophilus, and then finally, to and through others also. But the delivered principle also applies in writing, that is, it applies to Scripture. The written Scripture path goes from God the Father to and through the Holy Spirit, the promised Comforter, as we see mentioned in John 14:25 and following, John 15:26 and following, and John 16:5 and following. It then goes to and through inspired writers and speakers, see 1 Corinthians 2:9 and following, Ephesians 3:1 and following, and in the end, it goes to those who read and or hear what these inspired writers, inspired speakers, wrote or spoke. At the end of this process, readers and hearers knew the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, or they had the same understanding as did the inspired writer, Ephesians 3:4. This tells us not only how the gospel got to first century Christians, but how the gospel also gets to us today. When we read the New Testament, when we hear that message, we can know and we can understand just what the first readers and first hearers knew. God's redemptive message should compel us to surrender to the Messiah Jesus gospel both initially and continually. That means that we not only start a life of surrender to God through Jesus when we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, but that we surrender to God through Jesus continually, on an ongoing, on a daily basis. Just what about the good news makes that happen? The good news of God's saving grace centers on the identity of Jesus. It tells us who the Son of God was from eternity, who Jesus was when he walked on this earth 2,000 years ago, and who Jesus remains today. The good news of God's saving grace also revolves around what Jesus did. God's grace teaches us about God's plan to redeem mankind through Jesus. It not only includes the details of Jesus' birth, Jesus' life, and Jesus' death, it reveals to us who and what God has always been through the person of Jesus. See John 1:18. God's saving grace concentrates on, and it culminates in, Jesus the suffering servant, the one who learned obedience through his suffering, and through it all became the author of our redemption. That's the thought that we see in Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he, Jesus, was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. But that's not the end of the message in that context. The Hebrews writer goes on to say what Jesus accomplished through his obedience. The next verse, Hebrews 5, 9, says, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Christ's suffering, that is, Christ's obedience, accomplished the following. It made Christ perfect, that is, complete, meaning that Jesus accomplished just what Jesus came to this earth to do. Jesus came to suffer and to die for our sins, and he did just that. Christ's suffering also made him the author of eternal salvation. The word author here means pertaining to being the cause of something, one who is the cause, source. Christ, through his suffering, that is, through what he accomplished through his suffering, became the cause, the source of eternal life. Several translations, in fact, more so than any other term, render the word author as source. And finally, what Christ did through his obedience not only made him complete, and not only made him the source, the cause of eternal life, it did so to and for those who, following Jesus' example of obedience to the will of the Father, willingly and completely surrender their obedience to the will of the Father's Son. Those saved by Jesus surrendered to Jesus just as Jesus surrendered to the will of the Heavenly Father. Though we have noted it many times before, it's always worth repeating. The Hebrews writer teaches this principle after Jesus' life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. But Jesus taught the same principle to the apostles the very night that he was betrayed. In John 15, Jesus said this to the apostles, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." That's John 15, verses 9 and 10. We repeat what we just noted, that what Jesus taught before he died was just what the author of Hebrews proclaimed after he died. Those who follow Jesus must obey him just as he obeyed his Father. the gospel includes all of this and much more. So, what God taught Jesus was not just the first generation of good news. It was the same good news that God wants us to know, to believe, and to follow today. What Jesus taught the apostles was not just the second generation of good news. It was, like the first generation from father to son, just what we need to know about what God and Christ want us to believe and to follow today. And what the apostles taught to Luke and to Timothy and to others like them was not just the third generation of the good news. It was, just like the first two generations, what we need to know about what God and Christ and the apostles want us to believe and to follow today. So, when we, for example, read the words of Peter in Acts chapter 2, we need to understand that those are not just Peter's words. Throughout Acts chapter 2, either Luke the author or Peter the speaker tell us that the message that Peter delivered on that occasion was ordained of God, that it was the fulfillment of prophecy. There are, in fact, several prophetic fulfillments in Acts 2. That it was consistent with God's plan to redeem mankind through Christ. That it was consistent with Christ's life and Christ's purpose. That it was revealed through the aegis, that is, the guidance of the Spirit of God. That it was for the next generation of believers to hear, to believe, to be changed by, to be converted by, to become Christ by, and thus to honor and to glorify God by. What we will see in our future studies, as we examine what the apostles taught others, will be consistent with that first generation, what the Father taught the Son. And it will be consistent with that second generation, what Jesus the Son taught the apostles. And as we are about to see in our next study, it will be consistent with what the apostles taught to the next generation, to men like Luke and to men like Timothy. Additionally, though we are not there yet, it will be consistent with what that next generation, men like Luke and Timothy, taught the following generation, to men like Theophilus, and then finally, what men like Theophilus and others taught others also. This reminder as we conclude, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. Or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.